Good morning. You know, there's a song I listen to. It's a country or a Christian music station I listen to there out of Columbus. And there's a song that they have on there that it was an Easter Sunday. And the preacher come and he got up and he was a renowned preacher and he was known for long messages. And he got up on that Easter Sunday with the house being crowded and everybody there. And he said three words, love, love, and love. And then he sat down. Now, you're not going to be as lucky today to get that. But I bring that to your attention that what I am got on my heart, what the Lord placed there, is equally elementary as those three words were to that congregation of people expecting a whole bunch of words. And I could very easily do the same thing with the thought on my heart and sit down. And that is to seek the Lord. Pretty simple, doesn't it? You know, I could sit down right now and that would be the message that the Lord has placed upon my heart. Seek the Lord. As you look at me and you're saying, well, I know I do that. I look at that, everything I do, I want to go and I need to pray about this matter and I want to seek the Lord. But I'm going to challenge you, and even myself too, do you really? Do you really? Do some soul searching as we bring the message to your attention this morning. Life is full of obstacles. As we look at Scripture, and we know that God is not the author of confusion. God knows what is going on in each and every one of our lives. He knows what each and every one at this very moment is thinking. You can like me, you can dislike me. I want you to like me. It would crush me to think you don't. I like to like everybody. But that's all that being said, it's not even what it's focused upon. If whether I like you or you like me or you like each other, seek the Lord. You see where I'm going to with this, brother and sister? It's not about you and I. It's about us and our walk and our relationship with God. We need to seek God's face in all things. There is so much clutter in our lives. There are so much things going on around about our church that it disrupts our thought pattern. It puts us in it alters where we need to be. Our thoughts need to be upon what God's will is. See, God created mankind to have a people to serve Him. Pretty simple, and you could just cut it right there. There again, I could sit down. And that was the message. He desires fellowship with you and I. Anything outside of fellowship and walking with Him is irrelevant. It's going to burn up. It's going to go away. Anything outside of that easy equation of a fellowship with God is for naught. And what happens is the devil uses those different things that we have in our lives. You know, we're going to leave here for in just a short while. And we're going to go right outside these doors and we're going to go right back into this world. I call this our safety zone. And it's, you know, as I was praying there, I said, Lord, it's easy for me to promise you things in my little safety zone. But I said, Lord, strengthen me when I get outside of this building. When I get outside in the world and I'm back into my workplace and those water fountain jokes they tell, to help me to go away from those. Help me to stay focused and let my life be something that will promote you, that will show those people that I don't put up with that. I don't agree with that. I want to show you and uplift you to my work people. We can do that here very easily. But how are we going to do it outside of here? That is what's important. So, are we seeking God? It's very easy to say we do it here. But are you seeking God tomorrow in your workplace? That's what's important. And that is what makes, that is what is going to advance God's kingdom. That's what's going to advance the cause. Seek the Lord. I want to read a verse of Scripture that is very familiar, if I can get to it here. There are those that would look at the scriptures, and there again, we're back into our carnal minds that we try to figure things out. And there was, as I was studying this many times, that they say this verse of scripture I'm going to bring to your attention may have been just a side note that was placed there that really probably wasn't a part of the original writings. I'm not going to get into that. I believe this Bible is truth from cover to cover, and I believe every scripture that's in there was put there by divinely inspired men of God. I do not want to get into that, but I want to bring you, I bring that to your attention to let you understand that there we go again. Man's mind in commotion and confusion. Whenever these things were said, they were not seeking after God in His will. We need to understand that whatever God says is what we need to be seeking after. You know, I can be wrong. Do you understand that? My wife, Yoshua. But I can be wrong, and I have been wrong before. Each and every one in this room has been wrong before. I've had to repent of what I went wrong. And so many times I have been wrong and not knowing that I was wrong. But I was just good. I know it's that way. But it wasn't that way. I want to read the scripture to you. And there's a lot of things going on here. And we see, well, it's the healing of a blind paralytic man. It was. But I want us to read through this. I want to bring out the difference of opinions and the different of the commotion that was there. And when we look at this, and as I'm reading this, I want you to stay focused on everything that I say. I want you to meditate on praise and uplift God's name. So let's look for God in all these events. And as we use this verse of Scripture, you're going to see we're going to parallel this to where anything that's going on in our life and in our churches, we need to likewise stay focused on keeping God and uplifting God's name. The fifth chapter of John is where I'll be taking my reading lesson this morning. The fifth chapter of St. John, starting with the first verse. Give you just a moment to get there, those that have your Bibles and like to follow along. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these days, a great multitude of impotent folk of blind halt, whither waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming together, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. There comes the confusion. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. Is it not lawful for thee to be carried to carry thy bed? He answered them and He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. They asked him, What man is it that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in the place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done this thing on the Sabbath day. Now, I'm going to stop my reading there because it goes on and talks about they do find Jesus and try to persecute him and bring him, questioning, why did you do this work upon the Sabbath day? Do we not see the commotion here? First off, I want to go back to the man there at the pool. Now, we know that there was a, when the water was troubled, that the first one into the pool would be healed. Now, we know for that event was sanctioned by God. Said an angel would trouble the water. And I don't know of all that, because that's in the mind of God. While that was focused, that was the method. But there was a healing that was being done. And we know that any healing that is done to no one else but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God does the healing. And we see that the man was there at the pool. He was there for 38 years waiting for that water to be troubled. He knew that his healing could come. He had a faith of something. But see, he was looking for something outside of God himself. See, we talk about seeking the face of God. He was seeking something outside of that. Now, God was sanctioning it and doing the healing. But he could have, did he have to wait 38 years to be healed? Did the children of Israel have to roam in the wilderness for 40 years before they found the promised land? Do we have to wait a long time in our life before we find the answers that we are looking for? We are our worst enemies when it comes to serving the Lord and finding out what he wants with us. Those things are not that far off from us. They're right at the end of a prayer. One prayer. It don't take but one prayer to find out God's will. And that's talking about not, I'm talking about a prayer that's prayed from the heart. Do we think that God is a bully that's sitting upon his throne looking down, well, I'm not going to bless you today. I'm going to make you suffer a few more days because I just thought God and I can do that. That's not the God that we serve. God is there to bless our lives immediately. He's not there to take his glory in that he loves us. He desires the best for each and every one of us. We need to seek his face and find out what he wants for us. And it's not, doesn't take forever to do. And if you're lost and undone, this goes to all of us. But we let's for a moment. If you're lost and undone, you're not saved because you've not sought his face. You've not trusted in him totally. There's something missing. God is not holding salvation from you because he's mean. And he's got a reason behind it. His whole desire is to save your soul. And the very second that you get it right, the very second that you seek his face and it is something that you really desire, there's not all this other. See, I had a lot of mind work in my search for salvation. It started right here. You've heard me many times. That very spot right here is where I first knelt my head the first time the Lord told me that I was lost. For 2 years, boy, I was good at bargaining and trying to make things right. Or saying, Lord, if you save me, I will do this. If you save me, I'll just be that perfect Christian. He knew better. And he wasn't looking for me to be a perfect Christian, because there's not a perfect Christian in the room. There's not a perfect Christian walking. We're sinners that are saved by the grace of God. The blood is applied to our heart, and that's the only thing we can claim as a perfection that we have in this world. But I sought the face of God. 2 years later, down in Kentucky, and he graciously saved my soul. But see, I put away all that other head work, that other things that I sought from my heart. We see this man, he was there at that pool, and he was there looking at something that was not totally focused upon the immediate healing of his body. He had seen many things. You think the Lord didn't see him there? God knows all of us. He knows the very hairs on our head. He's seen that. He knew for 38 years he was there. But for 38 years he was looking in the wrong direction. He was looking for something that he didn't have to wait that long. And God had mercy. And I have to think, because of what I know, how God works, something in that man's mind had changed. You know, he healed his body, but you know, he said that he didn't know who he was. When they asked him, who had done this for you? He says, I don't know who that was. He healed him. But see, I know that for us to be saved, we have to believe that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. We have to believe that. So if he didn't know who he was, he wasn't privy to that. But I know that he comes, as we look later, and in the 14th verse, after Jesus finding him in the temple, said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, before a worse thing come unto thee. Jesus sought after him and found him. This morning, if you're lost, Jesus is on the throne with his arms stretched out wide, begging for you to come to him. He's not holding it back from you. He wants you to come to an altar of repentance. He is seeking for you. Now, you know, I believe, and there's no doubt, that the Lord will heal people that are lost. I believe this is what happened here. I believe that he healed them. I believe that he made the body, and he will do that. But I believe that it's because of the prayers of God's people, them that know God, the free pardon of sin. That's where the power of the prayer is. That's where the fellowship is, and that's where God works. And that is God's desire, to regain that back with loss of humanity, that fellowship. That's what the whole story's about. That's what this whole motivation that we have. You know, you say, those actors will say, where's my motivation? Well, let me tell you this morning, your center frame, your motivation is in seeking God's face. Seeking him and for what he is. He's all in all. There is nothing else that we can have in, or we can develop, or we can strive for, than to know God and the free pardon of sin. There is nothing more important than that in our lives. I know I have four daughters, and I tried to raise them the best I could, and I wanted them to be successful in this world. But more than that, I wanted to stress the importance that they know the Lord. And they've all four told me about a time and a place that the Lord graciously saved their soul. That's more important than anything. I know they have four different personalities, and they have four different ways in this life. But you know what? I know that someday when this life is over, if nature has it, I'll go before them. But I know that they'll be there in heaven with me. I know that. And to me, I'm a rich man. Because I have seen that my family has sought out God's will. That have sought out God, and they have found him. Not sought out God because they were going to be wealthy in this world. This world is burning up. It's not about this world. But we see this man, he went, and we want to get into this confusion. And you understand what I'm saying? We're going to keep things simple, and the mind is searching for God. And then all the devilly clutter that we have in our minds that we focus on a daily basis. And we see these here. They seen the man, no doubt, was there by that pool. And they knew he'd been there for 38 years. He hadn't moved. And he was just, he'd become a common fixture there at that place. And all of a sudden, he's up and walking, carrying his bed. What happened here? There was a miracle took place. You see, what is going on here is something that was outside of their norm. It was outside of their understanding. Are things in this world outside of your understanding that just drives you crazy? You can't figure it out? When you're lost, and the people around you that are lost, they don't understand it. There is the opportunity that we look at, and we talk about, well, I just can't testify. I just cannot find the time to talk to people that are lost. God will open doors. And there was an open door at that time, and God will do those miracles. And that is your opportunity as a one that is saved by the grace of God to step through that door. Let me tell you how that happens. That miracle happened because my best friend, my God, God's not going to leave us without help, hopeless. He's not going to leave us without helping us. Have you sought out his face and asked him to help you to witness? He will. said, Lord, I've got no one to help me. Just put me into this pool when it gets troubled to be healed. What was he looking for? What direction was he focused upon? He says, here I am. Basically, I'm ad-libbing here, but he says, take up thy bed and walk. Can you imagine the thought upon his head? Who is telling me to do this? Take up my bed and walk. I've been here for 38 years. I can't do that. Hey, it happened. And I want us to understand this morning that this is just not a fairy tale. This was a true event that took place. This was truth. It's in the Word of God, and I can depend upon it. You know, there are so many things that are in the Scriptures that people will question. I do not question. I do not question that the ark floated, that would float. Our minds and our engineers will go back and say it's impossible for a structure that was described in the Bible would have been seaworthy. Yes, it was seaworthy. It floated. I believe it's because God said so. We know that the song that Brother Bruce Adams says, because God said so. The Word of God says so. I want to seek after God's face. How about you? We have a lot of problems. I'm 56 years old. And in my 56 years, there's some here that's been down the road longer than I have. And some have been down the road a few days less. But I know that I've been on both sides of that coin. There's been a time in my life that I'm not proud of, but I was on the opposite side. I wasn't seeking the face of God. I was looking after worldly treasures. That didn't work out so well. It just didn't work out very well for me. But whenever I decided to seek God's face, whenever I decided to put God first and foremost in what I have looked in my focus, I become a happy man. You know, I thought the worldly things would make me happy. No, I was miserable. I was miserable. But whenever I am the happiest, and I want you to understand this morning, do some soul searching. When are you the happiest? The happiest part of my life, my days, is right now. Not that I can do anything without God's help, but when I'm behind this pulpit preaching the Word of God is when I'm my happiest. That is when I can feel the Lord present within my soul, and I know that He's working with me. That's when I'm the happiest. When and the thing of it is, we need to go deeper than that in our lives. Some of you are not preachers. Well, you're a preacher, so yeah, that's supposed to happen. You know, there's other times when I'm in my study, or even when I'm in a truck out here in the parking lot studying to preach a message. What was the first thing I did? It wasn't open this book. It wasn't open the book. You say, well, you're studying, you're going to open that book and you're going to start reading. No, the first thing I did is I opened up the walls of the sky. And I looked up and I asked, God, what do you want? What is your will for the service today? You know, there's so many things that got in my mind. It's the Lord's Supper. You need to do something as far as the breaking of the bread and the wine and all that. And, you know, there for a moment I would meditate on that. And that wasn't there. That wasn't a part of what He was speaking to my heart. And as I look at this and I look at the events of the Sunday school and the things, it was all focused upon seeking God. And if we are seeking God, it's talking about not taking this unworthily. We will not. If we are seeking God, if we are walking with God, that's what it's talking about. We're never worthy. But it talks about because we need to have ourself as clean and upright as we can. How do you do that? You cannot do that unless you're seeking God. So I prayed out there and said, God, give me a message. And as I come in and I'm meditating here and I hear the testimonies and things that went on in the early events of this service. If you look back at it, it was talking about seeking God and God's will. You know, I look back at what the message is to this church. And I want us to pay attention to what God is talking to this church. I see it. I see it in Corey's ordination. If you look back at his ordination and the things that went on, it was focused upon God and seeking His will. We look at the life and the generations of Corey's parents and his grandparents and things. I see a generation of people that have been seeking the Lord. It is passed down from one generation to the next generation. And that is that important that your kids see you seeking and putting the Lord first and foremost? You know, I told you I went amiss for a little while, but there was something that never left me. And that was the man that stood behind this pulpit, this very pulpit before you many years ago. I seen the man that would pray and pray and pray. He would pray out in the garage and the neighbors would hear him from blocks. That's what I saw as a man. I seen a father that seeks after God and His will. And no matter how far I went astray, I seen the importance of that. You, brothers and sisters, hearing before my voice, it's important that your children see you seek after God and you put Him first and foremost in your life. You want to see the success of this church? Let your children see you seek after God and His will. What's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in the future of this church? We need to seek God's will. It's not about what I think about it. I can tell you what I think. But I told you earlier, I can be wrong. I want to tell you the best I can. You know, there are, down through the ages of time, there has been people that have went astray. There are people that in their mind, they were right. And they really thought that they were going right. They were taught as a child that that was right. But it wasn't. I have seen my grandparents teach me things that I have found out later that really wasn't right. I respect them. I love them. But it wasn't about my grandparents. It wasn't about me. It was about us seeking the Lord's and His will. Calling out to a God and saying, God, I need answers to life. God, I need answers to my sick family. God, I need answers to what is going to get me through this day. You ever just had a day that you just didn't know, why am I even here? Do you ever have those kind of days that you just wake up and things are just, you couldn't even walk across the street without tripping? That's when you take and you look up to the heaven and you say, God, I need your help. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Brothers and sisters, that's where we're at. We do not have the ability on our own. If we try to do this without God's will, without God's direction, we are just like the world. We're going to be using this instead of this. This is where the answers come from. This is what God speaks to. Not this. This heart will speak to our minds and we will do the things of God. But we got to seek it out with our hearts. That's what, when we pray to the Lord, and I talked about my father, and him being the light that I was, even though I went astray, there was times that I remember those, whenever I would go astray, there was times that I was, those teachings that I had as a child growing up, they ever come back and haunted me. They're saying, you know you're not supposed to do those things. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. He was gracious. And I saw the error of my way. And now this day, I'm going to try with all I can to always seek out God and God's will. Seek the face of God. You see here, said the Gentiles, that's what they were looking for. Let's make an excuse here. Okay, God did a saving. God healed a body. And all they were interested in is trying to find fault. Trying to find fault with what was done. It was done on the Sabbath. He healed upon the Sabbath. There was a work done upon the Sabbath. God did something on the Sabbath, and then all they want to do is confound and make an issue out of that. They weren't focused upon what was important. Do we get that way? Are we, you know, it's our character. It's not something I have to, I like, but I have to fight it off. Do you always try to find fault? The devil will help us do that. But we will always, a lot of times, try to find fault. That's what we crave on so many times. And let me give you, I may have used this example before. Let me give you another example of how we are as humans. We like those types of things. That's why we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh and fight against that. And know that that's not the way we need to go. But let me give you an example of how I can prove that. Now don't I'm not trying to get out of context here, but I'll just use a television show that I've watched. An old show. My wife tells me I watch too much of this type of show, but it's an Andy Griffin show. Opie was on a newspaper at school. Some of you may have seen the episode. And they were talking about all the good stuff. Mary Beth or whatever, you know, on the playground, you know, she's done something good, and it was all good stuff, happy stuff. They weren't selling no papers in their school newspaper. There was just no one wanted to buy them. So, you know, Barney, let me help you, Opie. You've got to go and get the dirt. You got to go talk about the bad things. And believe it or not, yes, they started selling papers because they started going to the bad stuff. I think Andy went on in print saying that the preacher was preached and his messages were, was it drier than dirt? It got back to the pastor, by the way. But you see what I'm saying? Those types of things, not saying it seriously, those things will sell. Now, as simple as that may sound, brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, that is the human nature of people. That is the human nature of people. Why do you think social media is so popular? Think about it. Why is that Facebook so popular into us? You know, we talk about, you know, I had an aunt that if you wanted something told, you telegraph or teleclo. Her name was Clo. There was gossip. Back in Kentucky, my grandparents had what you call a party line. You know, everybody shared the same phone line. You picked it up and somebody else was on it. You had to hang it up until they got done. You could sit there and be talking. You'd hear just a little click in the background. One of the neighbors would pick up and start listening to the conversation you was having with somebody else. We want to admit it or not, we are very much about those types of things. We are seeking after those types of things. We don't even see, I'm bringing to your attention things that you don't even realize that's been brought down through the ages of time. But what is our mind, our focus upon our mind? We're worried about so much everybody else's, and we're not worried about ourselves and what we are seeking for. See, if I take care of myself, if I take care of, and I find myself seeking out God's will in my life, you are going to see God in my life. And you know, I talked about you. I wish that you would all be my friends. I don't want no one to dislike. I'd like to be friends with everybody. If I can find you didn't see God in me, and you got God in you, you know what? It's going to be automatic. We are going to have a union together that is unlike nothing that we know of. It's going to be automatic. So my focus should be finding out God's will. What does God want in my life? That's what you should be seeking out, is God's will in your life. And when we know what God's will is, everything else will fall into place. Whether it be our church, our family life, or whatever the means may be, it's going to fall into place. We look at this as they were looking at all kinds of clutter. You know, I read this scriptural event to you, and you see all kinds of things that were amiss, but it was all simple. Seek the Lord. That blind paralytic could have He wasted 38 years of his life. 38 years of his life. All he had to do was seek the face of God. God was there. And God knew his heart, as he knows our heart. Do you have a heart of love? Do you have a heart of reconciliation? Do you have a heart to seek out what is good for your brothers and sisters? Do you have a heart of God? If God saved your heart, saved your soul, he gave you a love. And whether we believe it or not, we have to continue to work on that. You say, well, God gave it to me, it's there. Well, then if that be the case, then why are we in the shape that we're in? If it's not sanctification, if we're not have to progressively work toward. Because when we look at that David, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He had went amiss. We go amiss. We get cold and indifferent. But we need to plead and seek out God's face and say, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Seek God's face. Very simple. You see what I said? I could get up here and say, seek God and sit back down, and it would have been sufficient to the message that I've brought to your attention. And you'd have thought, well, I didn't get nothing out of that. And you may not get nothing out of this. And that's all good and fine. Let God be your... talk to you. Because there's sayings that... I know, and there's things I don't know. But I do know when God speaks to my heart and tells me what he wants preached. You do too, don't you, brother? You do too, don't you, brother? We know that's an assurity. We know when God speaks to our hearts, we know that it's right. My fear is that I let myself get in the way. That I may not fall back in his arms totally. See, that's what it's about. Whether you're preaching, whether you're praying. You know, praying is needed in our churches. Prayer warriors. You talk about, what's my job here? What's my duty, Lord? What can I do to help? Our church, if you want to believe this or not, we are coming up short when it comes to good old-fashioned prayer warriors. Remember the old dear sisters in the church that you could just hear? They'd outpray the pastors. They let heaven echo out in the churches, in their homes. Brothers and sisters, we need prayer warriors. Those that are seeking out the face of God. And not afraid to let the world know. We need those that can come and through their testimony just bring tears to your eyes. You ever had those dear old sisters get up and testify and just tears running down their face, and you know there was not a doubt in your mind that God was with her. God was endorsing that. God was present. That's what we need, brothers and sisters, God being present in all of our actions, whether it be inside these four walls or outside these four walls. You want to be known as a Christian? You want to have an effect in a lost and dying world? Seek out God's face. And God will be seen bright. As we conclude in the I want to conclude in the sixth chapter of Matthew, and I want to read a few verses here that I think will tie this message together. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where their thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor work doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For there where your treasure is, there your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That's a good question that we need to ask ourselves. No man can serve two masters, for either he shall hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into your status? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, when Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of them. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whatsoever shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows what we need. He knows our needs. He knows without us even asking Him, but He desires that we ask Him. He knows every situation in this room right now. He knows it. He knows it. But seek, here we go, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See there again, there's the message in that one verse. Seek ye first the face of God. Seek ye after God and His righteousness, and all these trials and tribulations, all these things will be taken care of. O ye of little faith. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Seek God and His will. There is nothing else. We will try. We have done it in the past. Our history, even in the Scriptures, is all the way through this book. Of people that have took an alternate route. You know, there's probably more now. There's 500 or more different denominations. God is not the author of confusion. We made that statement earlier. Do you believe that there's 500 different avenues to worship in God's direction to us? No. It's a new, those people that have been saved by the grace of God and that are members in this day, in this generation of a New Testament church, those that know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, those that know not just to make a decision, that it's godly sorrow that worketh repentance, that was troubled, and they sought out God because they seen that they needed Him more than anything else in this world. That's what happened to me. What about you? That's that godly sorrow that I had. And I prayed through. And the Lord heard my cry. And He graciously saved my soul. And because of that today, I can cry out to Him now on a daily basis. And He will hear me. He will hear me. And give me the directions that I need. May I ever be found doing that. May you ever be found doing that. Brothers and sisters, it's time. The things that we see in this world, the things we see around about us, all the commotion and the things, is because we have lost sight of our first love. We have lost sight of what is really important, and that's God's will. God's will. What, as we bring this to a close, What did Christ portray in his life? He had a oneness with his Father. He was here to do the will of his Father, even unto the death of the cross. That was his focus. That was the example that he left for you and I. So whenever we go out and some people look at you and say, are you a Christian? The Christ-like? That's huge. That's a big, big, big plate to fill. To say that we are a Christian, that we are like Christ. I think it's only mentioned only twice in the Scriptures, the word Christian. Oh, that we could strive for that example that what God left for us to be one and seek after God's will, knowing that all other things are for naught. Seek God's face.